I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, author and columnist Gustavo Arellano, sports writer Terrence Harris, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. It's been a busy week. I know the guys have a lot to talk about. A Latina activist is deported after a year-long fight to stay in the U.S. A tragic shooting in Newark is playing into the immigration debate, too. Plus, there's more to say about the Michael Vick case. I may jump in, although you know I can't speak on the Vick story, right? All right, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks, Michelle. Hey, everybody, welcome to the shop.
What's going on, man?
Hey, all right, well, let's jump right in. Let's make a run for the border talking about Elvira Arellano, the recently deported immigration activist some are calling the Mexican Rosa Parks. Now, Gustavo, did Elvira stand up and take one for the team like Parks, or did she just get pinched?
Well, first of all, for the record, she's not my sister. She's not my cousin. She's in no way related to me.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. I know. There's different Arellanos out there. You know, but it's interesting to see how offended people get by comparing Elvira to Rosa Parks. Some people say, how dare you do it? You know, Rosa Parks was a legal citizen who was fighting for all rights. Elvira was an illegal immigrant who was fighting specifically for the rights of illegal immigrants. And, of course, in the popular culture, we view them only as Mexican or Latino.
Right.
I think, though, for the people who do that, they're not denigrating Rosa Parks. They're actually honoring her by comparing somebody to somebody like that. So I think what Elvira did, she sacrificed herself for what she believes is to be the greater good. And whether you agree with it or not, that's a different story. But that's ultimately what she did. She portrayed herself more as a martyr, I think, than Rosa Parks. If Rosa Parks got arrested and sparked this great movement, Elvira gets deported. Now let's see what's going to happen.
T. Harris, how do you see it?
Well, I would be one of those people who would have a huge problem drawing the Rosa Parks analogy to this. I really do. I see this more as a situation where, you know, this is about her being over here illegally. They gave her certain guidelines. And, I mean, you know, and we have laws in place for immigration reasons to protect our citizens who are here already.
Well, you know what? Here's me. I'm kind of down for the immigration reform fight, but she needs to let her son stay put in Chicago. Trying to coax her son down to Mexico to join her just seems selfish. Yo, the R.
Yo.
Ruben, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm glad she's gone. I'm glad she got deported. And here's why. This was not a case. Listen, this was not a case of somebody who came across once. She came across twice.
Right.
She was deported before. She came back. She got a second deportation order. And what did she do? She went to Chicago to hole up in a church.
Right.
And she basically was flouting, you know, and antagonizing ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement guys. They got tired of it, arrested her in Los Angeles, and booted her back to Tijuana. I say good because all the regular cliches apply. I mean, this is a fact of the country of laws. There's got to be a role for enforcement. All that is true.
Right.
There are going to be times when we make another argument in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, and we're going to say as part of that argument for comprehensive immigration reform and a path to legalization for people here that you got to have an enforcement component. Well, then you got to mean it. If you're going to say it, you got to mean it. And this is this is really a gut check time for the folks on the left to let everybody know that they're not talking out of both sides of their mouth. In fact, they really are sincere that the United States has a role to play, has a right to deport people who are here illegally. Let alone this woman was going on tour, guys. I mean, she was on a bus. She was going to go around the country. You know, the no excuses tour. I'm going to go around the country.
She was flouting the law.
She was just making a mockery of it, and that's not going to fly.
Ruben, can I ask you something, though?
Yo.
I mean, the kids who sat in the lunch counters at Woolworths, the whites-only lunch counters, were flouting the law. Rosa Parks sitting in the whites-only section of the municipal bus was flouting the law.
Right.
What's the difference? Tell me what's the difference.
Here's the deal. I don't think there should be a difference. One of the greatest traditions of this country is civil disobedience. Going back to Henry David Thoreau, who first envisioned, I'm not going to pay my Massachusetts poll tax to protest instead the Mexican War. But he paid a price for that. At Woolworths in Greensboro, they paid a price for that. Rosa Parks was arrested that day. She paid a price for that.
Right.
Likewise, Elvira has to pay a price for that. Where I get off the bus, literally, is where folks want to come in and say, well, I want to practice civil disobedience and break an unjust law, but I expect a party and a steak dinner afterward. No, you got to go to jail. You know, Martin Luther King went to jail in Birmingham. He wrote the letter from the jail, you see.
Preach, bro.
So the punishment has to accompany the crime.
Here's my perspective. Now, the whole Mexican Rosa Parks thing, I don't see it. Now, on one hand, you got Elvira. a grassroots activist whose act of defiance is being exploited for camera time by would-be leaders. Then you got Rosa Parks, a grassroots activist whose act of defiance was exploited for camera time by... Wait a second. All right, now I kind of get it now. never mind. Anyway, let's take a look at how Republicans are using the killing of those college students in Newark as a catalyst to call for tougher immigration laws. At presidential candidates like Mitt Romney and Republican Tom Tancredo from Colorado, they're leading the charge. Now, Ruben, you and I have been talking about more dialogue about immigration, but this can't be the kind of dialogue on the subject you had in mind.
No, it's shameful. I mean, I'm talking before about deporting somebody who is flouting the law, but it's not inconsistent for me to now say that these Republican candidates are shameful. They're turning these cases into the Willie Horton of this campaign.
Right.
You know, Jose Carranza, who did the killings allegedly in Newark, and if, in fact, he did the killings, he deserves the gas chamber. But that doesn't mean he should be on a Romney bumper sticker. And Romney is using this guy and this horrible case, trying to wrap it around the neck of Rudy Giuliani, who was never in Newark. He was the mayor of New York City, after all.
Right.
But it gets all kind of contrived, and it's just become a political mess, you know, to borrow a phrase from Giuliani. And I think it's really unfair. It shows how desperate Romney is that he would demagogue this issue in this way and try to use this tragedy for his own benefit. But we've been down this road before. Politicians have been speaking in racial code for a long, long time. And they used to do it about African-Americans primarily. Now they do it about Hispanics.
T. Harris.
I mean, these guys are convicted criminals. I mean, they committed crimes, and they were here illegally. We have laws that are allowing these people to stay here. Now, send their butts home. I mean, they shouldn't have been here. I applaud the Republicans for bringing this issue to the forefront, no matter what the whole genesis of it is. But at the end of the day, this is what we need. If you're not here illegally and you commit crimes, get out.
Wow, that's a hard line.
Go home. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to come over here, know how to act. We already have enough problems.
You got to be careful what you wish for. In the 1980s, you had a lot of Salvadorans and Central Americans come here to Los Angeles. They were gang members. They were convicted, and they were sent back home to Central America. What they did then was start gangs there, the MS-13, that notorious gang that some of the guys who allegedly did the killing supposedly belong to. MS-13 comes back to the United States more powerful than ever, destroys Central America, and is now going across the country. So all I got to say, I mean, a solution to this is not that simple. Deport them back, that's not going to be enough. There has to be something more to that.
That's right.
You're actually going to have some sort of enforcement before just throwing them back home.
Ruben, speak to
gas chamber. Not deportation, gas chamber. Not in Mexico, but here, you see. Gustavo's right. The right wing gets wrapped up in this idea that this guy should have been deported. You deport him, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. I want him in our system, our jury, our trial, our gas.
Could I just jump in for 1 second? I think the issue on the table is if somebody is here illegally and they're just charged with a crime, is the argument that they should immediately be deported absent some sort of a judicial process. I think that's kind of the crux of what it is that's being discussed here. But if I could just pause for just 1 second and say, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to The Guys of the Barbershop. I'm going to give it back to Jimmy.
Thanks so much for that, Michelle. That's a great question. Anybody want to speak to that?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I mean, listen, Michelle's right. In this case with Carranza, he was on bail. He was out on bail on these earlier violations, and he slipped through the process. He should never have been let out on bail. They should have kept him locked up and not let him go out on bail to commit these other crimes. But this was a kind of bureaucratic mistake, a failing of the system that had nothing to do with sanctuary policies or immigration law. That's just right-wing rhetoric and hype around this story. But Michelle's point's well taken. If a guy is charged with a serious crime, you could make the case that you should deport him right then and there. But I'm with Gustavo on this. If he's a bad guy, you don't want to deport him because he'll come back bigger, badder, and stronger. You want to lock him up.
Well, my feeling about this is that the tragedy in no way matches the issue of immigration. I mean, using this incident... it's an ugly, underhanded move from the Republicans, but what do you expect? Anyway, moving on. Michael Vick is expected to plead guilty to federal charges behind illegal dogfighting, but noted social commentator Stephen Marbury and the Atlanta chapter of the NAACP don't want to bench that dude for life. Now, Terry, I know you said this would arrest the judgment here, so should jail time be enough?
Well, I mean, I'm not real sure that the jail time is even necessary. I still have a huge problem with this,
my God.
Man.
Mr. Law and Order over here? Hold on.
I mean,
where'd you go?
On this situation, I mean, this, you know, we're
pretend he's an illegal Mexican.
No, I mean, but in this situation, guys, seriously, I'm not sure that the Michael Vick, I mean, wasn't, I mean, basically coerced into this. He almost had no choice but to plead guilty. I mean, his so-called buddies, they've already, you know, given themselves up and agreed to testify against him.
Right.
I mean, the guy had no other way to go in this situation. I would have liked to have seen him go to trial. I have a hard time believing that they would have found 12 jurors who would have convicted that guy for prison time.
I think
he should be fine. I think that, you know, there are lots of things that you could do to Michael Vick without sending him to prison. I just have a problem with sending him to prison for this particular crime.
Yeah, he totally deserves prison time if he did, in fact, break the laws, which it seems that, you know, by pleading guilty, it really seems like, you know, the evidence is damning against him. I think it's disturbing. I know Marbury was saying that Vic shouldn't be penalized because mm-hmm. dogfighting is a sport in some cultures. Yeah, you're right. It is a sport. So is cockfighting. Cockfighting is a big sport in Mexican culture. That doesn't make it any less illegal. Cockfighting is illegal, I think, in every state except Louisiana, and it's going to be outlawed, I believe, toward the end of the year. I don't think dogfighting is legal in any state whatsoever. If Vic broke the law, Vic has to face up to whatever penalties they may be. I don't know what would be the penalty for dogfighting. I think he faces some felonies, so it's probably going to be jail time for him.
Maybe in this case, Michael Vick, I'm going to be morally consistent here. I said Elvira should pay the price for breaking the law. I'm going to go straight on this. Michael Vick should pay the price for breaking the law. I don't care that she's here illegally and he's worth $130 million. That's the great thing about this country, brother. One law fits all.
Well, see, I mean, I think for Michael Vick, I think this was a street credibility type thing. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys who are rich athletes, you got to understand where they came from. And a lot of these guys don't necessarily want to give that up because they feel like they're walking away from something. Now, in this case, what we elected to see Michael Vick obviously make some better decisions about what he's going to do in his leisure time. You know, the type of friends, type of people he's going to hang around, yes. But look at this, guys.
Hold on a second, Terry. Reuben, is this dog fighting thing, is this a cultural or class issue as you see it?
I don't know if it's class, if not. I mean, this is a guy who had a $130 million contract, okay? It's going to be hard for him to play a class argument that somehow, you know, this is the way I was brought up and this is something that was okay in my culture, blah, blah. If anything, maybe you can make the opposite argument that he ran in with a bad crowd. His friends were obviously of no use to him. They dragged him down. Then they turned on him in the very end. It brings back to that old joke, you know, if in fact, and it's apropos here, if in fact you want loyalty, don't look to friends. Go out and get a dog.
All right, fellas, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, man.
Kick it back to Eminem, Michelle Martin.
Jimmy Israel is an opinion writer and blogger. He joined us from his home office in Lexington, Kentucky. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Author and columnist Gustavo Arellano joined us from KUCI in Irvine, California. And Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from KUHF in Houston, Texas. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thank you all for joining us today.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yep, yep.